The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open the word of truth this evening to Hebrews 11:2. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2. The next few moments are devoted to silent prayer, the objective to prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God this evening. Let us pray. We look to Thee for blessing, Heavenly Father, because we're totally dependent upon Your provision for everything in this life. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will take the subject matter before us this evening and make it a part of our permanent residency of the soul, so that we might advance, so that we might fulfill the purpose for which we are here, to glorify Christ, to fulfill the very plan of eternity past. Recognizing Your perfection and Your wisdom, we submit ourselves to the authority and discipline which is so necessary in moving forward in this advance to the high ground. May God the Holy Spirit therefore give us the concentration, the poise, the objectivity to listen, to assimilate under the principle of gap. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. The book on anti-Semitism is just about out, and tomorrow there will be a stuffing party here in the morning in order to get the whatnot out in the mail. This is one of the longest books we have. We're experimenting with little longer books now. Anti-Semitism is the next book out. All right, we studied Hebrews 11:1 last night, which says, in fact, doctrine is the reality from which we keep receiving confidence, the proof of matters not being seen. Moving on then to verse 2, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2. The explanatory use of the word gar follows. Since doctrine is all of these things, gar sets up a sequence to explain how doctrine is related to people in the Old Testament. They did not have a completed canon of Scripture, and for 2,000 years there was no Scripture at all. So we have an explanation that doctrine was still available to them. There never has been a generation to which doctrine was not available. For by it, the preposition en, plus the instrumental singular from the demonstrative pronoun houtas, N plus houtos, H-O-U-T-O-S. And the demonstrative pronoun always refers to something near at hand, something important in the context. Here it refers to doctrine. Literally, for by means of it, doctrine, the elders, the nominative plural of presbyteros, P-R-E-S, B-U-T-E-R-O-S. However, presbyteros here really means men of old or ancient people. And it's a reference to the super grace heroes of the Old Testament times. By means of doctrine, the people of olden times, the ancient people or the men of old, obtained a good report, the aorist passive indicative of martyreo, Martureo means to witness. M-A-R-T-U-R-E-O. At least that's what it means in the active voice. It means to bear witness or to be a witness in the active voice. But in the passive voice, it means to be witnesses, to be well spoken of, or to be approved. And since this is the passive voice, it means here to be approved. The aorist tense is a culminative aorist which views the action of the verb in its entirety, but emphasizes the existing results. The action of the verb is constant function of gap and following the colors no matter what. The existing results mean taking the high ground or the attainment of the supergrace status. In other words, we have the continual function of gap until the point of reaching the high ground. And this is a culminative aorist which emphasizes the results, but looks back and sees the process by which they were obtained. The passive voice, the men of old, received the action of the verb. They received divine approval through the daily function of gap. And the indicative mood is the historical reality of the fact that in olden times, long before there was a canon of Scripture, people reached the high ground because they were positive, because they wanted doctrine, and God provided it. For by means of doctrine, men of old gained approval, is what this verse is actually saying. For by means of doctrine, men of old gained approval. And there are three principles found, therefore, at this point. The first, the gaining of divine approval is the entrance into the supergrace life. The men of old, or the ancients, were able to reach supergrace without doctrine in writing as we have it today. They had to have positive volition, and they had to submit to a system of discipline, whether it was angelic creatures providing the information, prophets, later on, Levitical priests. But until the time of Moses, there was no written doctrine at all. It was always communicated by some person. For example, Enoch, who was translated. Noah was also a communicator of doctrine. And these communicators had the authority, carried the authority, to communicate and often met with a great deal of negative volition. But doctrine was available through the same system that doctrine is available today, and that is verbal communication. It has always been God's way since the beginning of time to have doctrine taught verbally by those who are given the authority by God and to concentrate on it. The second principle, if the ancients could take the high ground of the supergrace life without having the amount of doctrine that we have in the royal family, then there is no excuse for any one of us failing to take the high ground, failing to reach the supergrace status. And there's no excuse either to hold the high ground once we get there. The third principle has to do with the fact that perseverance is always the key when doctrine was not available in written form as it is now. And when the lines of delineation and demarcation were not as beautifully drawn as they have been for the royal family, the principle remained the same. And it is the persistence and tenacity of understanding the issue and sticking with it that counts. Now in verse 3, doctrine not only plays a great part in the life of any believer and is the means of reaching maturity or supergrace, but doctrine is also the basis for understanding history. So we see the importance of Bible doctrine in orientation to history in verse 3. Again, we have the phrase, through faith. This time it is simply the instrumental of means from the noun pistis. P-I-S-T-I-S. And it means by means of doctrine. By means of doctrine, we understand. The present active indicative of the verb noeo. N-O-E-O. It means to perceive, but it means perception based upon the fact that you've already learned something. It means to build knowledge on knowledge, perception upon things you've already understood. The present tense is a retroactive progressive present. It denotes something begun in the past and continuing into the present. The active voice, the royal family, produces the action of the verb by learning dispensational doctrine and other doctrines pertaining to the interpretation of history. The indicative mood is the reality of perception in this area. In other words, the believer must be oriented two ways. Verse 2 says we must be oriented to our objective. Our objective is to follow the colors until we reach the high ground of the super grace life. The other objective is, while we are moving through life, we are involved in the history of our time, and therefore we must be able to understand history and God's activity in history through Bible doctrine. So we orient to our own personal situation. We also orient to the situation, the circumstances of our life. By means of doctrine, we perceive, or we have perceived, and we keep on perceiving. Perhaps better, by means of doctrine, we learn. That is simply a translational device for indirect discourse. The word for worlds is an incorrect translation. It's the accusative plural of the noun aion, A-I-O-N, and it refers to ages. By means of doctrine, we learn that the ages are the dispensations. Now, this is a part of the accusative of general reference with the infinitive. And when you have the accusative, a noun in the accusative case with the infinitive, it really isn't the subject, but we call it the subject because it indicates the one who is producing the action of the infinitive. So we translate, by means of doctrine, we learn that the dispensations were framed. Dispensations or ages is the subject. Were framed as the perfect passive infinitive of kat artizo. K-A-T-A-R-T-I-Z-O. And it means to put in order, to complete, or to make complete, to prepare, to fit together, to arrange. Here it means to have been put together. By means of doctrine, we learn that the dispensations have been put together. The perfect tense is a dramatic perfect. That it's the rhetorical application of the intensive perfect. In other words, it is even stronger than something that happens in the past with results that go on forever. The passive voice, dispensations, or periods of history receive the action of the verb, and the infinitive is not only the accusative of general reference, but it indicates the divine purpose. God is going to control history. History will never get out of hand. God will allow the volition of angels and the volition of members of the human race to run their free course, but you will never run your course to where you run out of history. By the word is, well, ordinarily we would expect logos, but this is one time we get a different word, rhema. R-E-M-A. Now, rhema means planning. It refers to the planning of God in eternity past. It means the decrees of God. It means whatever God said to God the Father said to the other members of the Godhead. And then we have the ablative of source. Theos is in the ablative, and it should be translated from the source of God or even from the ultimate source of God. So we have something that looks like this. By means of doctrine, we learn that the dispensations have been put together by the decree, by the saying from God, so that the preposition eis plus the accusative of the definite article should be translated with the result that things which are seen, present passive participle of blepo, B-L-E-P-O. Things are literally what is being seen is the way it should be translated. Historical present. The passive voice, the events of history receive the action of the verb, and it's a circumstantial participle, and it's best with the result that what is being seen. What is being seen by us is history. We are observing right now the events of history around us. We are enmeshed in the events of history. And while we are enmeshed in the events of history as they are occurring in our day, we have another objective. We're advancing toward high ground. So we live in time of historical uncertainty, and we see it all around us. And at the same time, we are fulfilling our purpose for being here, which means that God not only provides for us to advance, but He also provides the very basis in history whereby this is possible. People often wonder, why haven't the communists taken us over? Why haven't we been conquered? Why hasn't that great and terrible circumstances related to our economy, why hasn't it all collapsed? It's been trying to now for several years. And the answer is found in the fact that there is still a certain amount of positive volition on the part of members of the royal family of God. And the principle involved here is this. History caters to the royal family. Now, I'll rephrase that. God caters to the royal family historically. And as long as the royal family in the United States has anyone who's interested in doctrine and anyone who's following the colors and advancing, well, we're going to stay intact. And we get so close to a terrible economic depression. We get so close to being taken over by the enemy. Every time you turn around, something new has been added by way of endangering our national security and our national freedom. And yet we keep right on going. Why? Because there is positive volition. And God provides historically for positive volition. So let's add another phrase to that. God caters to positive volition. And He not only caters to the individual, but He caters to the whole national entity. In other words, Jesus Christ controls history. History is designed to glorify Jesus Christ. Positive volition toward doctrine on a persistent, consistent basis is the means by which this is accomplished. Therefore, the events of history never get out of control so that some positive believer is kept from reaching higher ground. As goes positive volition with members of the royal family, so goes the nation. What is being seen? Now it says we're not made, and that's incorrect. We have the perfect active infinitive of genomai plus the negative. G-I-N-O-M-A-I plus the negative may. Now it should be translated, has not come to pass. What is being seen has not come to pass. The intensive perfect again. Disaster is seen. Disaster is a great potential on every hand. And yet there is something invisible holding everything together. We look out around us and we see disaster. We see national policies that spell out disaster. We see the conditions of the people of this country in a status called disaster. Everywhere we turn, everywhere we look, there is some form of disaster facing us. We notice the economic situation. We notice the military situation. We notice the spiritual condition. We notice many, many different factors. And everywhere we turn, it's the same thing. People are discouraged as they face life. They are discouraged as they move into a situation where there should be honor, where there should be discipline and organization, where there should be nobility and beautiful and brilliant thinking. And yet these things are all absent and they are very discouraging. And people wonder and they shake their heads and wonder when the whole thing is going to collapse. But then there are people who wonder that here in Houston from time to time, and yet they shake the cobwebs out of their head and they come to Bible class. That positive volition is a very fine thread, and all that positive volition has to do is to turn negative and the thread snaps and we've had it. All people get discouraged from time to time. I have had my moments of discouragement when I see how people do not really understand how important Bible doctrine is. And between a very intolerant attitude toward negative volition, I realize that something that perhaps you do not, that if the whole nation depended upon your persistence and your positive volition, where would we be tonight? And with some of you, you'd have to answer that we'd be in slavery. But in effect, this is what the passage is saying. It's quite a switch from verse 2. Verse 3 is saying, in effect, that historically, the events of history are regulated by the positive volition of those who are members of the royal family of God. And I'm sure that sometime in your life you've attended some kind of a church, or you've heard the maybe Baptist Loyalty Sunday or something, or you hear the say, if everybody in my church was like I am, where would our dear little church be, see? Well, this is much more important than that. Your attitude toward Bible doctrine not only has personal and individual repercussions, which are going to come out in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, but they have phenomenal effects upon history. It's very hard for you to see it, I'm sure. And especially in the circumstances of being, as it were, buried. And yet, isn't it interesting? Right here, in Baraka Church, your persistence in coming is the great factor in saving this nation. People who have done well in some profession and get buried have a tendency to get discouraged. They even want to get out of it. As I told you, I spent a lot of time with Captain Howard. In fact, Colonel Udall and I spent a great deal of time with him, and he's quite discouraged. The Army, because he had principles and because he had nobility of character, because he wasn't the ordinary type of hero, the Army got a little embarrassed by some of his strong stands on things. You know, like the day the Army wants to join you. Well, you know what that is. That's a crock of malarkey, of course. And he'd been quite discouraged, and they have tried in the past to bury him, get him out of the main line, because he is the Army's number one hero today, being the most decorated man since Audie Murphy, and one of the most decorated men in all of our military history. And consequently, they have tried to bury him. That's discouraging. And he gave some very serious thought to getting out very shortly. I think he's changed his mind now. But the thing that's so important is that it's very discouraging when you know you're doing a good job and you're doing it right, and you get buried. Now, we are doing many different things here in Houston every day, working in different types of jobs. Our circumstances may not seem to have any impact on the nation as we do whatever we do. Certainly, we never related our activities with national freedom or the course of history. And yet, your attitude toward doctrine is the determining factor. And when you go to school and you're worn out and you don't want to come to Bible class, that's the very fine thread that keeps us going. And yet you come anyway. And you say to yourself, my presence doesn't mean anything there. And my coming and being positive and listening to the Word doesn't mean anything. And yet you come. And I really have to laugh again, because a lot of people say they're just too sick, too worn out. But I'm staring through the glass at a man who's got a mask over his face, and he's just as sick as anybody I've ever seen, and yet he's sitting right here at Bible class tonight listening to the Word. I mean, he's a walking ghost. He has been for 2 days, but here he is. And that's the attitude. Positive volition toward doctrine. Your positive volition is a fine thread, and you have the free will to snap it and to say, to hell with doctrine, to hell with everything, to hell with this. I'm going to have a good time, or I'm going to get some rest, or I'm going to find a new life, or I'm going to do something else, or I'm going to go this way or that way. Whatever you're going to do, you are the ones that are holding things together. Now, we've had a wonderful time with all of our military men who have come back. This 4th of July conference, many of you says the best you've ever seen. Well, be that as it may, what's going to sustain those wonderful men in all of our services? What's going to keep them going? What's going to give them the leeway to fight for our freedom? Your positive volition. And so put this down in your notes. God honors positive volition toward doctrine. God honors positive volition toward doctrine. And the individual positive volition of any member of the royal family of God can change the course of history. Now let's see what we have. By means of doctrine, we learn that the dispensations have been put together by the word decree from God, with the result that what is being seen has not come to pass of things which do appear. Now, of things which do appear is simply a prepositional phrase. Ek plus the ablative plural from the present passive participle phino. Ek plus phino. Phaino. From those who are visible, literally. The present tense of the participle is aoristic present. It's for punctiliar action in present time, and it refers to the people and leaders in your immediate periphery of history. And the leaders and the people and the establishment systems seem to be holding us up. But in reality, you are holding them up. And it was beautiful, I've noticed several times, to see how many of you were here, and you even looked a little embarrassed by not being in a uniform, but I want to tell you something. You're what's holding up those men. You see, God honors positive volition. God honors the volition which you have as a member of the royal family of God, and no matter how humble you appear to be, and hopefully how humble you really are, you're holding things together. And it's this great invisible power of positive volition toward the Word that is in reality the thing that makes the establishment go, and the establishment then is the visible, overt part of it. Now, the passive voice, the subject, that is the people in your range of observation, receive the action of the verb. They are the ones who are visible. Now let's see what it says. Verse 3 says, by means of doctrine, we learn that the dispensations have been put together by the decree from God, with the result that what is being seen in history has not come to pass from what is visible in history. What is seen in history has not come to pass from what is visible in history. And I can't tell you how important this is. Now, many of you have come to me and have called me and have contacted me and have said this has been the greatest conference you've ever seen, and that you have enjoyed all of the wonderful things and having all of the various military types back here. And you've enjoyed them. Well, what you don't know, they have enjoyed you. And many, many men who came here for this conference from all of our services, including the Navy, many of these men, these men said that they derived blessing and encouragement from you. We're at an all-time low in our services. And it's very, very discouraging to be in any of the military services now. And when they came back here, you were an encouragement to them. You are, with your positive volition, and those of you who are positive, you are that invisible dynamic of history. So now you can relate your positive volition to history, or your negative volition. For any time you want to go negative, all hell can't stop it. That's the way God set it up. And you can go negative tonight, tomorrow, the next day. And if everyone does, then the military will collapse, the government will collapse, and we will have had it. In other words, this is quite an unusual verse. This verse gives us the true interpretation of history. It is the positive volition of those of you who live here in Baraka, Texas, that keeps things going. And I hope that no man will ever feel embarrassed because he doesn't wear a uniform The only thing that should ever embarrass any of you is failure to stay positive toward doctrine. And if anything else embarrasses you, then you've lost your poise and you've lost your perspective. Because you are members of the royal family of God forever. And your, as goes your volition, so goes the nation. So just remember that undergirding every system of establishment is your volition. Our police officers live in a time of great discouragement. There never was a more difficult time for a police officer to be serving in that very noble, very underpaid, very despised profession. That is the human viewpoint of liberalism. And yet, our police officers here at Baraka Church carry on and do a fantastic job. But one reason why they do is because of the positive volition here. And our positive volition toward doctrine has local history, national history, and international historical repercussions. And I hope that the day will never come when any man in this church who is positive toward doctrine ever has one moment of embarrassment or ashamedness because, for one reason or another, he is not in uniform. Your positive volition and whatever you're doing is the thing that counts. The same thing goes for the ladies. Now, people say to you, what do you do for a living or what are you doing in life and so on? You don't have to blush. But you should have an answer, really. It's no one's business what you're doing if you don't want to make it their business. Just tell them, I'm a member of the royal family of God passing through life. And we have a lot of not only hidden talent in this congregation, but hidden royalty. And history, we have had in this congregation during the past few days, men who have made history. There is no church in the United States that ever had a TDY detachment from the infantry on general orders come to a church. No church has had Congressional Medal of Honor winners and other military heroes assemble here. And these men have all done a great job in their own way. But isn't it interesting? They couldn't do the great job without you. So you have undergirded them by persistent positive volition during the past year. And then you extended to them the finest hospitality and encouragement they have ever seen. And many men who were on the verge of leaving the service, men who were on the verge of getting out, made decisions while they were here to stay in, stick it out. They got a new perspective. But they didn't know there was anyone backing them up. But what they don't understand is, the greatest backup they ever have from you is not the wonderful hospitality that you extended, though, and it was great, but the fantastic tenacity of positive volition that you have demonstrated throughout the past year. And sometimes it just takes stubborn tenacity because, you know, many, many times either I fall flat on my face or I'm not presenting it the way you would like to hear it or somehow we're not clicking together on it. Sometimes it's my fault, sometimes it's your fault, sometimes it's no one's fault, but there must be the tenacity of purpose to keep going. And if someday when I walk down off this platform and say, boy, did I lay a lead egg tonight. What do I do? Well, I go in the office and kick myself for 4 or 5 minutes, but then I immediately recover. There's tomorrow night. But how do I know anyone will come back after that mess last night? Well, I really don't, but you see, you have tenacity, tenacity, tenacity. And that's really great. And the one thing that was invisible and unseen to these men as they came in was that year of coming and coming and coming, and the slugging it out and the slugging it out and taking it in and taking it in and growing and advancing and advancing. So that you were glad to have these men here and glad to see their uniforms and glad to pay respects to them, but not for one moment being embarrassed because all you wore was a sports shirt or a coat or a suit. See, we're all here for a reason. And right here, this is where history is being made. All right, let's check then a couple of principles on this verse. The doctrine of dispensations proves that history is in the hands of God and that history never gets out of control. Now, people get out of control. Life gets out of control. Circumstances of life get out of control, but never out of God's control. And even though history occurs in the devil's world, the events of history are shaped by God. That's important for you to remember. Even though history occurs in the devil's world, the events of history are shaped by God. So you have to remember a principle of history. God had the good sense to know beforehand everything that would ever occur in history. No historical event, no catastrophe of history has ever caught God off guard. He knew about that catastrophe billions of years ago. Billions of years ago, he knew about it. God made provision, therefore, to control history without controlling human volition. God made provision to control history without controlling human volition. So that free will is still the issue in the creation of man and in this stage of the angelic conflict. Therefore, our understanding and interpretation of history is based upon a knowledge of doctrine. Bible doctrine resident in the soul is the basis of correctly evaluating our own spiritual advance and our personal relationship to history. And I'm as proud of you who come day in and day out, no matter what, as I am of these very noble men that we had during the past few days. And at one time I was almost tempted, but I wasn't sure some of them would understand. I almost thought that the military should give this congregation a standing ovation. But that isn't necessary in this sense. You know what counts, and you know what's important, and you know why you're here. All right, that's the first three verses of the 11th chapter. Now let's review the translation before we go on to the importance of doctrine. Hebrews 11:1, in fact, doctrine is the reality from which we keep receiving confidence, the proof of matters not being seen. Verse 2, for by means of it, by means of doctrine, men of old gained approval. They reached super grace. By means of doctrine, we learn that the ages, the dispensations, have been put together by the decree from God, with the result that what is being seen has not come to pass from what is visible. It isn't the visible that shapes the course of history. It's the invisible. And your volition is invisible just as God is invisible. We see the impact of God in history. We see the impact of Christ in history. And I, as a pastor, get to see the impact of your own volition by your own personal presence here. constantly and persevering in the intake of the Word. All right, the doctrine of the importance of doctrine. Point one is a definition. Bible doctrine is the content of the canon of Scripture, with emphasis on the communication of that content by teaching and instruction. Doctrine is the communication of Bible information on the basis of exegesis, classification, analysis, and interpretation of Scripture. Since Bible doctrine is the mind of Christ, it must be communicated by authorized personnel. Prophets, Levitical priesthood, that's the Old Testament, apostles, the apostolic age, pastor teachers, the rest of the church age. Two, in His dying breath, the Lord Jesus Christ made doctrine the spiritual legacy of the royal family of God. In His dying breath, Jesus Christ made doctrine the spiritual legacy of the royal family of God. Psalm 31:5, which says, "Into your hands I deposit my spirit." That's the part quoted in Luke 23:46. Now, the part not quoted but said by our Lord, "For you have delivered me, O Jehovah, God of doctrine." And that's the declaration of the deliverance. The person who delivered and the means by which He delivered. Jesus Christ was delivered by doctrine resident in His human soul. That's why He called the Father Jehovah El Emeth, Jehovah the God of doctrine. The same way we are delivered. And the greatest moment in history was the cross. The greatest and most important moment of history was the cross. And what is unseen and what is invisible about the cross is the fact that Jesus Christ went to the cross because of doctrine in His human soul, and He endured the cross because of doctrine in His soul, and in His dying moments He passed on the legacy of doctrine to the entire royal family. That's how we follow the colors. So there you see the invisible part of history. You see once again the positive volition of our Lord and His humanity. Positive toward doctrine. Caused Him to take in doctrine, until in the residency of His soul He was in super grace. And that resident doctrine, based upon many numerous acts of positive volition toward doctrine, shaped history. Point three, the legacy existed in Old Testament times. Psalm 138:2. I have previously exegeted this passage. Let's get the corrected translation of Psalm 138:2. It says, and it's quite different in the Hebrew, "I myself will worship toward the temple of your holiness." And this is David. And there was no temple. He was worshiping toward heaven. He was worshiping toward the Holy of Holies. And then David goes on, "And I will celebrate your person." That's occupation with Christ. "Because of your grace and because of your doctrine. Because you have magnified your doctrinal teaching over your reputation." There are three becauses in that passage. Now notice once again. David is worshiping toward the Holy of Holies, toward heaven, toward home. He celebrates the person of Christ. That's occupation with Christ. Now we have the three becauses. First because of your grace. Second because of your doctrine. Third because of principle. You have magnified your doctrinal teaching over your reputation. Do you know what that means? We'll hook it up with Hebrews 11:3 and you've got it. Your positive volition toward doctrine, your response to doctrinal teaching is the invisible dynamic of history. And Jesus Christ controls history, but He controls it through the positive volition of those who love the Word. There's no reason why we should be here tonight. There's no reason why we should be a nation tonight. We have done everything wrong in recent times. There is not one policy that has been correctly followed that would hinder our total destruction. Why are we here tonight? Because of the invisible principle of history, the invisible dynamic, your positive volition to our doctrine. And in effect, the United States of America and all of its people owe you an hour's standing ovation. And then some. Because you are the true heroes of history right now, your positive volition. And I've seen you from time to time, look, what am I doing here? Why do I drive so far? Is it worth it? I mean, I see those expressions, I read you loud and clear, better than you think. The reason I don't sit down and cry right here, because I'm not a baby. And many times it's discouraging, and some of you have wives that henpeck you for coming, and some of you have husbands that bully you for coming, and some of you have people that say, don't come, come with me. The siren of Carbidus is just around the corner. But you keep coming. And some of you have parents that tell you, and some of you have children that tell you. And I know one young man whose father told him, that doesn't work. I've been over there with you, it doesn't work. He keeps coming. The son does. Now, I don't want you to get fathead about this. But you see, we still have that 500 feet of rope on the platform that broke the world's record. And that rope is heavy. That rope is nylon rope. It's the best. And that's really what we are together as a local church. We're a tough piece of rope made up of a lot of threads. All of those threads are your wavering positive volition and my wavering positive volition. Little fine threads, and they're all woven together and woven together, and we have a pretty big tough rope here. But you have one little thread break and another little thread break and another little thread break, and you don't have a rope. So the Lord has a great sense of humor. He has chosen to confound the wisdom of the wise with insignificance itself. He has chosen to take people who are members of the royal family of God and who appear to have no particular status in life as far as Cosmos Diabolicus is concerned, and He has chosen, in His marvelous sense of humor, to use your positive or negative volition to determine the course of our country. That makes doctrine important. One more time then on Psalm 138:2. I myself will worship toward the temple of your holiness, the Holy of Holies, and celebrate your person. Three becauses. Because of your grace, and because of your doctrine, because you have magnified your doctrinal teaching over your reputation. And this is the course of history. All right, the first three points again. Point one, definition. Point two, in His dying breath, Christ made doctrine the spiritual legacy of the royal family. Psalm 31:5. Point three, the legacy existed in Old Testament times. Psalm 138:2. It existed in Jeremiah's day, with this difference. Jeremiah was a greater preacher than any we have in the world today. But everyone was negative toward his preaching. And believers being negative caused the nation to be destroyed. But Jeremiah never gave up, and Jeremiah was still positive toward doctrine, and he kept on teaching even though the nation, everyone else was negative, and he was very discouraging. Many times he had to do goofy things for sermons. He had to go out and bury a girdle and dig it up and put it on and things like that. And by the way, that didn't even draw him a crowd. But the point is, there was negative volition toward what he was doing. Everyone was negative toward him. And the result was the nation went down. But God's sense of humor says, all right, Jeremiah, you were positive. You are preserved. And he was. Same thing was true of Noah. Noah preached for 120 years and he didn't get any converts and he didn't have any positive volition outside of his family. So the whole earth was destroyed because of that invisible line of negative volition. Too many threads snapped, and when they all snapped, the flood came. And only those who were positive were preserved. Point four. Bible doctrine pre-existed the human race. Bible doctrine was with God in eternity past. Proverbs chapter 8. Point 5. Attitude toward Bible doctrine determines whether the believer is blessed or disciplined. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 33 through 36, which says literally from the Hebrew. Literally from the Hebrew. Verse 33. Be positive toward instruction of doctrine, or heed doctrine. Heed the instruction of doctrine. That's positive volition. If you have the heaves, you're negative. If you have the heeds, you're positive. See, there's a fine line of demarcation there. Heed instruction. Not heave, that means to give it the heave hole. Heed instruction of doctrine and be wise. That's the accumulation of doctrine resident in the soul. Do not neglect it. Verse 34. Happinesses to the man who listens to me. Bible doctrine. Happinesses to the man who listens to me. Watching daily at my gates. That's the place of assembly. That's the daily function of GAP and the place of assembly. Watching daily at Baraka Church. Waiting at the doors to get in. Waiting at my doorposts. That's positive volition expressed. Verse 35. For he who finds me, doctrine, finds capacity for life and obtains super grace from the Lord. But, verse 36, he who sins against me, doctrine, rejects it, injures himself. All those who hate me, who hate doctrine, love death, the sin unto death. Now, that passage teaches the principle that attitude toward Bible doctrine determines whether the believer is blessed or disciplined. Point 6. Therefore, doctrine is the basis for the distribution of super grace blessings. But it must be doctrine resident in the soul through the daily function of GAP. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 12, which says, therefore, I, God the Father, will distribute the plunder of victory to him, that is to Christ, because of the many believers. Then he, Christ, will distribute the plunder of victory to the great ones, super grace believers. Because he, Christ, poured out his soul to death, prior to this, he was identified with the offerings of sin because he himself carried the sin of the many, and about the offering for sin, it was caused to fall upon him. In other words, this is a prophecy showing that when the cross occurs, as indicated by the last phrase, then there will be special plunder of victory for the super grace crowd, the royal family of God. Therefore, doctrine is the basis for the distribution of super grace blessings. Point 7. Bible doctrine is more real than empirical knowledge. Bible doctrine is more real than empirical knowledge. 2 Peter 1:12 through 21. If there's a conflict between what you see and what the Word says, the Word is always right. Let's get a corrected translation. Let's turn to that and simply review the literal translation. 2 Peter 1:12. Very, very difficult to understand this point unless you see the corrected translation. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, corrected translation. Therefore, I will always be ready to keep reminding y'all, members of the royal family, concerning these things, positive volition toward doctrine, although you have known and have become stabilized by means of resident doctrine. Stability comes by resident doctrine. Verse 13. Moreover, I consider it my duty, as long as I'm in this tabernacle or human body, to turn you on to doctrine by means of a reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my tabernacle, my human body, is imminent, just as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. Indeed, I will be diligent. In fact, at any time you may have the doctrine after my death to call to remembrance these things. For not having followed as our source of authority cleverly concocted myths, when we have communicated to y'all the power and coming of our Lord Jesus, but we have become spectators of His majestic magnificence. For when He received from God the Father honor and glory, such a unique voice having been carried to Him by His majestic glory, this one Christ is my beloved Son, the one with whom, with reference to whom, I have become well pleased. And we heard this same voice, having been carried out from heaven, when we were with Him in the holy mountain. And we continue possessing the prophetic doctrine as more reliable, with reference to which doctrine you perform honorably when you habitually become occupied with doctrine. Doctrine as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns. See, that's the way it is with many of us. We keep plugging away, and it seems to get darker and darker. And then all of a sudden, the day dawns. Doctrine as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns. And a morning star has come up. By the way, the word for morning star there is Venus. I don't want to get any of you young men too excited about that until Venus has come up in your right lobes. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that all prophecy of Scripture does not originate from one's own personal explanation. For prophecy was never produced by human design or volition, but men, human authors, communicated from God, being carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now this passage tells us that there is something more reliable than empirical knowledge, something more reliable than what we see, what we hear, what we taste, what we smell, and that's Bible doctrine. Point 8, the plan of God is both advanced and vindicated through Bible doctrine. Isaiah 53:10, which says, however, Jehovah the Father made a command decision to crush Him. That's Christ. He, God the Father, caused the affliction of Christ when, parenthesis, when you will appoint His soul a trespass offering, and then the resurrection. He, Christ, shall see a seed, the royal family. He shall prolong days to rule Israel. Therefore, now here's the conclusion. Therefore, the plan of Jehovah the Father shall advance by His hand. Also in Romans 3:4, the plan of God is advanced by doctrine. Romans 3:4, well, from the previous verse, there was a question. Shall unbelief cancel God's faithfulness? Answer, definitely not. Moreover, let God continue truthful, though every man a liar, even as it stands written, that you might become vindicated by means of your doctrine, and that you might become victorious when you are being maligned. Point 9. Lack of doctrine destroys a nation. We've already seen the mechanics of it in Hebrews 11:3. But the principle is also taught in Hosea 4:1 through 6. Point 10. The communicator of Bible doctrine authorized for the church age is the pastor teacher. Ephesians 4:11 through 13, Colossians 1:25 through 29, and coming up in Hebrews 13, verses 7 and 17. Point 11. The communication of doctrine establishes the balance of residency in the soul of the believer. Bible doctrine is transferred from the written page of the Word to the soul of the believer under the function of gap. The purpose of this transfer is to establish in the soul of the believer the balance of residency. As the badge of royalty, we are indwelt by the Spirit. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. That's how God, the Holy Spirit, controls our soul. Indwelling is the Holy Spirit indwelling the body only, controlling the body only. Filling has to do with the soul. Filling of the Spirit minus doctrine leads to confusion. That's how people become holy rollers. Filling of the Spirit plus doctrine is the dynamics of phase two. So there must be a balance of residency in the soul. Point 12. Consequently, the importance of consistency in the function of gap. And I'm going to give you three verses, and it'll be a review from the literal translation. First, Hebrews 10:25. Stop neglecting the assembling together of yourselves, as is the habit of certain ones, but by being an encouragement. You see, these men who have been visiting with us do not know it, but you've been an encouragement to them all year. I think probably one of the happiest times this church has ever had was our last 4th of July conference. That seems to be not just my opinion, but the consensus of opinion. In fact, I haven't had any disagreement on that yet. But this is the principle. You, by assembling yourselves consistently, have been an encouragement to them. It's the invisible principle of history. So again, stop neglecting the assembling together of yourselves, as is the habit of certain ones, but by being an encouragement, even so much the more, as you see the day of the rapture drawing near. Now Hebrews 10:35. Therefore, do not throw away as worthless your confidence in doctrine, which confidence keeps having rich distribution of blessings. Chapter 10, verse 36. For you keep on having need of perseverance, in order that when you have accomplished the will of God, gapping at once, you might carry off for yourself the promise. And the promise has to do with the super grace blessings. Now let's notice a couple of principles here. Connection with these verses. One, the promise in Hebrews 10:36 has to do with your personal super grace paragraph. Two, the promise refers to the blessing of super grace promised in eternity past. Therefore, the importance of the function, consistent function of gap. Three, consistency is the secret of growing up spiritually. Therefore, the secret of taking the higher ground of the super grace life. Four, the believer must be challenged to gap it daily no matter what. Now, no matter what is always the problem. So five, the problem of distractions. Basic distractions include people on the outside who are pulling in another direction, or people on the inside who irritate, or mental attitude sins, or failure of rebound, or the desire for entertainment over the desire for doctrine. So the Latin writer Horace says it, qualis ab incepto, prosiscerit et sibi constat. Let him proceed as he began and be consistent with himself. Colossians 2:6 and 7 says exactly the same thing. According as you have received to yourself Christ Jesus the Lord, so keep walking in him. How do you walk? Having been rooted and constantly being built up in him, being stabilized by means of the doctrine in the manner that you have been taught, overflowing with thanksgiving. Point 13, the results of doctrine resident in the soul. Six results. One, it produces confidence for phase two, as per Hebrews 10:35. 2 Corinthians 5:6 through 8, Job 5:24 through 27. Two, it causes the divine viewpoint in the right lobe. Isaiah 55, 7 through 9, 2 Corinthians 10, 5. Result number 3, it orients the believer to the plan of God. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Romans 8, 28. Fourth result, it produces stability of mind. James 1, 8. Result number 5, it's the basis for divine guidance and the execution of God's will. Romans 12, 2 and 3. And the sixth result, it leads to capacity for loving God and occupation with the person of Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:10, Ephesians 3:19, and anticipates Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. Well now, Father, we've been challenged from the Word. It's strictly up to the volition of the individual member of the royal family. May God the Holy Spirit use this challenge, not only as it is given here this evening, but as it will be utilized through the tape ministry, so that wherever this particular challenge is heard, that people might understand doctrine is as important as anything else, and more important if we're to have a good relationship with Thee. To that end, may we be challenged through the ministry of the Spirit. In Christ's name, amen.